We talked last week about five spiritual areas of maturity. There are five areas God spiritually wants to mature his people in. God wants us to be mature in these five distinct areas. What was the first area? Relationship with God. The first area that you have to grow in maturity in is how you relate to God. Do you know who he is, and do you know who you are as a result of who he is? Amen? Do you know who you are? The very first thing is that we have a relationship with the Lord, that we have a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. We've applied a religion to it. We build a religion around it, but really, ultimately, Christianity is our ability that we might know him in the resurrection power and the fellowship of his suffering, and that we choose to be his disciple and walk after and follow his way. You can't follow who you don't know. You got to know who you follow. When I was in the Marine Corps, we would go into, when I was in boot camp, they would try to confuse us. And we would go into the chow hall. And we would have to all march. So you got 70 guys marching in formation. Okay? So we would march in formation to the chow hall. And then we would go in, squad by squad, four squads. One, two, three, four. You go in. You eat. And when you're done, and you would have to go outside, and you would have to line up immediately. And you'd have to get in your order quickly. And you'd have to stand at attention. Boom. And you'd have to wait. The drill instructor would never go stand where you could see him. He would always go somewhere where you couldn't see where he was. And then you'd have to wait for a command. And sometimes what would happen is another drill instructor would slip in and say, "Turn, hut!" If it wasn't the voice of your drill instructor, you better not move. If another drill instructor gives a command and you start turning, you're in trouble. "Moten, what are you doing? That's not my voice." You should know the voice of those you follow. You should know the voice of who you're called to follow. You should know the voice of who God is. You must know him first. And when you know him, then you know when there's a voice that's not the right voice. Because there's lots of voices in the world today speaking to the children of God. There are lots of voices who want to persuade you that they are the voice of God, but they're not the voice of God. But the only way you begin to discern the voice that is of God and the voice is not of God is to know what the voice is. I heard somebody say, "This person that's on television, did you hear what they said? I can't believe they said that." I said, "They're not a Christian." "But I always thought that this person was a Christian." I said, "When did you ever have that person say Jesus is Lord? When did you ever hear that person make a confession of faith? Not to say I believe in God, because there's lots of people. Guess what? The devil believes in God. When did you ever hear that person say, I believe on Jesus Christ for my salvation? When did you ever hear that person say, I was born a sinner. I know who I am, and I've come to Jesus and given my life to him as a personal dedication of who I am, and I give my life freely to him so that I can be redeemed." They never heard that from this person. I'm sorry. Some music was playing in my pocket. That wasn't the right voice. I had to turn that voice. I had to turn that voice off. That was not the right voice. Amen. But that you might know him, that you might know the voice of the Lord. Because what Satan loves to do is Satan loves to be another voice. He loves to be the voice that comes and subtly tells you something you don't need to hear. Something that will drive you off course. So Adam and Eve in the garden with absolutely everything, what does Satan come and do? comes and becomes a voice. He becomes a voice to them. And he begins speaking to them. And when he speaks to them, I don't know what's playing, but I got to shut it off. When he speaks to them, he begins to persuade them that he has something that they needed to know. Has God really said, if you eat of this one fruit, that you're going to die? Matter of fact, this is what God knows. God knows the day you eat of it, you're going to become like him. And you're going to know the difference between good and evil. Here's the only problem. They were already like him. They'd already been made in his image and his likeness. They were already like God. They had nothing to benefit by disobeying God, but they had a serpent who wanted them to disobey God. They had a serpent who wanted to drive them off course because they represented something that they didn't realize they represented. What they represented was they represented a new group of beings. They represented God's newest creation. See, before man was created, God had already existed. God already existed, and there were angels around the throne of God already. And then there's something that happens in heaven that one of the chief angels named Lucifer begins to believe on himself and tries to exalt himself above God and is cast to the earth out of heaven. He's cast to earth. And on earth, he's stripped of his angelic blessing. And on earth, he then witnesses God create the world as we know it. He witnesses God in 7 days shape the world that we know and understand. When he shapes this, Satan watches by and sees God then create something new in his image. And then tells this new thing, you have dominion. You take authority. You lord over everything that creeps on this planet. If it flies, you're in charge of it. If it swims, you're in charge of it. If it walks, you're in charge of it. And Satan, all the while, is standing by, said, no, he didn't. So you need to understand the whole background. You know, some people come and tell you a story, but they didn't tell you the whole story. And you start believing something because you ain't heard the whole story. And then when you hear the whole story, you said, that sucker tried to. See, the whole story is God created man in his image. And God gave man a command. And that which was jealous of God and jealous of what God created comes and said, did God really say this? He comes and throws a new voice in there. He tries to confuse man. And what he does is he gets man to doubt the wisdom of God. He gets the man to doubt the wisdom that came out of God's mouth, that God spoke, that God said, the creator of everything. Where can you get more wisdom besides the person who created everything? If you make something, you go into your garage and you start pulling things all around and you make something and somebody says, what is it? You start explaining it to them. You say, well, it's got a feather coming out because of this. And this is, you know, got 3 legs because of this. And it's got, you know, I put this arm like this because of that. And this is what I'm trying to get it to do. And matter of fact, if you hold it just right in the light, it'll scratch it back for you. Why? I made it. I know what it can do. I know what it can make. I know why I made it. I know you can look at it and judge what it is, but I know why I made it. And if you ask me, I'll tell you why I made it. Because I'm proud of it. That's why I made it. And if I made it and I put my own stamp on it, this is the Dairy Moten special. Yeah. I put my image on it. Pow! It's mine. Did I show you what I made? Take a look at what I made. Because when you make something, you have investment in it. You have an ownership in it. But what happened to man is this. When the voice of God tells him what to do, and Satan comes and rolls the doubt into his environment, man gives up his position. He gives up his position as the image of God. And as no longer the image of God, now what happens to him is he operates below the standard of God. So that now once Adam and Eve have children, the two children are born, and they start looking at each other, and they start competing with each other. And one of them says, I'm done with this other guy. He kills his brother over something that he did wrong. I do wrong, and I'm going to kill you. The nature of man was changed. It was no longer the nature of God. It was now a nature that has no form. Genesis chapter 1 says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the world was without form and void. It doesn't say it didn't exist. It says it was without form. It was void. It was empty. What does that mean? The Hebrew word is the word chaos. The world was there, but it was in chaos. It didn't have a form, a shape. And God said, let there be light. God began to shape it. Satan lived in the chaos. Satan lived in that void, that space that was chaotic and there was no life, no form. But God says, let there be light. Wherever God goes, God gives structure. Wherever God goes, God gives shape to something. Wherever God goes, God starts to arrange and create around something. And man came in and inherited a world that was shaped, structured, and full. Now, what does that have to do with you today? It has to do with the fact that man fell, and without God, man creates chaos wherever he goes. He goes right back to the civilization before. He starts to emulate what Satan had. He starts to emulate being chaotic and empty. So what's the number one thing people come to God because? I was empty inside. I was void. There was chaos. And we in that state need God to come in and say, let there be light. And create light, life in our heart and mind. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was there in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life and light, and that light is the life of men. See, when God comes in, the first thing God does is give light into the darkness in your life. First thing that happens when God comes into our spirits is he starts to give life where there's lifelessness. He starts to fill the void in our spirits that our money, that our relationships, that our habits never could fill. Everything we try to fill it with cannot fill it. Only our Creator can refill what is designed to be in us. And until we have him 100% on the inside, we're always searching and grabbing and trying to get out of chaos. It's only Christ in us that is the hope of glory that fills us up and starts to push back darkness in us. That starts to press out the darkness. That starts to push away. When I gave my life to the Lord and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, what started happening to me? All the things I leaned on, they got less and less important. All the things I was grabbing for, I could push them back. Why? Because I got filled. I got filled with him. He came to know me. I got to know him in my spirit, in my soul, the deepest part of me. And when he came inside, he started pushing back the darkness. Because darkness cannot exist where there is light. See, the only reason that there's light right now is because the sun is there. But if you remove the sun, darkness comes. Darkness has no substance. Darkness has no source. You cannot measure darkness. You can only measure light. Wherever darkness is, whenever light comes, the darkness dissipates because it has no substance. It's void. It's empty. That's why when God speaks, he says, let there be light. He didn't have to say anything besides that to kill the chaos. He said, I'm just going to bring my light into the environment and it will shut the chaos down. Amen. Let there be light. What we are finding in the world we live in right now is the absence of light. Yes. It's the absence of light. And when I've said this before. In the morning when I wake up, I'm usually up when it's still dark. Okay? When I get up, if my wife is awake, she'll say these words. You can just turn on the light. I'm like, nope, I don't need the light. I can walk in the darkness. I can, because I know where everything is. It's dark in the room. I can't see anything. But I know if I get out of the bed and take a step this way, I can reach over and grab my phone. Okay? I'm not going to use the light on my phone, though, because I know I can walk 7 steps this direction. And then I'm going to turn this direction. And I'm going to walk in the bathroom. When I get in the bathroom, then I'll use the light. I do every day. Don't I do the same thing? Yes, I do. Some people think they can see in the dark, but they can't see in the dark. They're just used to where they step. They're just used to where they step. 7 steps this way, and I walk this way, and I go through. Here I am. See, I can see in the dark. You can't see in the dark. You couldn't see. You just used to going the same old path, and you keep going the same old path, and you keep getting in the same place you was before. And so you walk in the darkness and you get in that same place. I said, guess what? I can walk out the room. Guess what? I'm going to walk out of the bathroom 5 steps this way. Then I'm going to turn a little bit this way. Now I'm going to come over. I'm going to kiss her on the cheek. Then I'm going to go around and I'm going to go this way, this way, this way. And I'm going to get to the door and I'm going out of the room. Can't see nothing. But I do it all the time. Why? Because I'm used to the darkness. Because I'm used to the darkness, I can move in the darkness. I can go in the darkness, and I think I can see. But the fact is, I can't see. I'm just used to it. And then I get overconfident. And then I run into something. Ooh, oh, man, the couch. Couch's been there 6 years, man. It's been there 6 years. Oh, man. Boom. Oh, I ran to the door. Oh, man, it's been 6 steps instead of 5. Moving in the darkness, thinking you can see, but you can't see. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Are you with me? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 26. See, man without God thinks he can see, but he can't. And like a person walking in the dark, people are stumbling around. And if I don't bump my toe, then I think it's cool to be in the dark. And I really don't get mad about being in the dark until I run into something. But that don't mean it ain't dark. Just because you didn't run into something today does not mean that all of a sudden it's light. It's not light. It's still dark. But just because you don't have an accident, you think you're in the light. See, that's the thing. This is what people believe about Christianity sometimes. I don't need God if I have a job, if I own a house, if I'm married and we're not fighting, if I have, I got all my teeth, I got this. I don't need God. I don't need God. Now, I get that toothache, I'm ready to pray. A tooth start hurting, I'm ready to pray. Me and my wife start fighting, I'm ready to pray. I lose my job, I'm ready to pray. Matter of fact, I'm coming to church. Something, I stub my toe in the dark. Now I'm ready to do something about the darkness in my life. But until I have something that hits me, I keep living in the dark. I just keep existing in the dark. It ain't no problem. Until I hit something. Till a crisis hits my life. Till a storm hits my life. Till something hits me. Then I'm ready for the light. Look at this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Foresee your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh, tell your neighbor, say, no flesh. No flesh. Tell your other neighbor, say, no flesh. No flesh. Tell your other neighbor, say, no hair. So you have to say, no pretty face, no buff body, no pocket full of money, no beautiful house. No little boys. Should glory in his presence. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. See, we're wise when we're in, we think we're wise when we realize we can navigate the darkness. See, I know why the Lord has let me do this over the years now. I've navigated in my room in the darkness with a sense of pride about it. I can get through the dark. I walk through the dark. Got it down. And then I started practicing, right? In the light, I practice, right? Practice going down the stairs with my eyes closed. Just a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Got it. Start practicing to get good at it. Because I know it's dark. I don't want to fall, but I want to turn on the light. See, when I was an unbeliever, I knew what kind of tragedies could befall people that were doing some things similar to what I was doing. But I tried to just keep walking in the dark, keep navigating in the dark, because I didn't want to turn on the light. Matter of fact, I started denying that there was a light. There ain't no light. Everybody's in the dark. Matter of fact, it's so dark, even if there is a light, when I go to hell, I'm having a party with all my friends that don't believe. Just in case. You start talking crazy in the dark. Darkness, it infects your mind. You start talking crazy. Start believing crazy stuff. But when you think you're wise, God says, nope. They ain't ready. They still believe in the dark. So he said, check, look around. There's not a whole bunch of wise and noble. Why? Because they're still believing in the dark. There's still believing in the darkness. They're still believing in their ability to navigate without light. Verse 30. We'll go back to 29. God's chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh should glory in his presence. See, Adam and Eve were in God's presence as worshipers. Adam and Eve lived in God's presence in the garden, in the place where God created for them. They lived there without lack, without sickness, without all the things that we have as a result of the sin nature. That's where they lived. That's where they were. But when they fell, they brought on a curse to the earth that then took the earth back to the state of chaos. And God said, listen, now the ground is going to bear thorns and thistles. The ground has changed because of what you did, Adam. The world has changed because of what you've done. What did you do? You chose fleshly wisdom as opposed to godly wisdom. Our lives are restored in Christ. Now let's go to verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us what? From where? He became not for us worldly wisdom, not sense-based wisdom. He became a wisdom from God. Christ became wisdom from God. Your salvation is wisdom from God. Listen, look at the wording. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Who? When he says who, who's he talking about? Talking about Jesus, right? Who did what? He became for us. He became for us. In other words, he was something else. He became something. He became something for you that are in him, you that are in him. He became wisdom from God. He became wisdom from God. He was something else, but he became wisdom from God for you who are in him. Put your hand on and say, he became wisdom for me. So you know what that means? That means if I'm in him, I have wisdom. Not only do I have wisdom, I'm in the wisdom. I'm in him, and he became wisdom. That means I'm in the wisdom. I'm inside the wisdom. I'm in the wisdom of God. I'm not trying to get the wisdom of God to come down out of heaven and be on me. I'm in it. This is revelation, I'm telling you. Got to get this. You got to get this. I'm in the wisdom of God. I am in the wisdom of God. God don't have to come down and give me anything. I'm already in it. I'm in the wisdom of God because he became it for me. So what does that mean? That means never, ever confess you're confused. Never confess you're confused. You may not know what to do next, but that does not mean you're confused. Because see, Satan confused Adam and Eve. They had a command from God, and he threw some other wisdom in there, and they got confused on what do I do, and they made a bad decision. But you're not confused. You may not have heard what God wants you to do yet, but that means be still. If you don't know what God said, then stand still and see the salvation of God. Amen. Stand still and let God do something. If he didn't tell you what to do, that means stand still. But if he tells you what to do, then you move with no reserve. Move in faith. Why? Because Christ has been made to me wisdom from God, and I'm in him. Once he became wisdom from God, and I'm in him, then I got the righteousness. Then I got sanctified. Then I got redeemed. I got all those things from being in the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God begins with this. Know that you're a sinner. I acknowledge that. I can confess that. I can receive that. I was born this way. Yes, you were. You were born just that way. That's how you were born. And guess what? Now that you've acknowledged that, now receive him. And when you're in him now, in him I have redemption. I have sanctification, and I have redemption. My soul has been redeemed, bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. I am now redeemed of God. I am sanctified, which means I've been set apart for God's purposes and God's service. And I have righteousness, which means I can stand in anybody's face with no condemnation, no feeling down, no feeling below or beneath anybody, because I'm in him. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you're redeemed. Such were some of you. Yes, guess what? Did some crazy, stupid stuff. And it seemed like the right thing to do, because that's what I was made of. But you know what? In him, I have wisdom from God. And when I came in him, guess what? Everything I was had to stay outside of him. What I was is no longer, is not him. It's not with me. I got separated from that, because when I came into him, everything that wasn't like him couldn't come into him, because where there is light, darkness cannot exist. So the darkness that was in me got left outside of the door, because it can't come into the light. But Satan, standing outside the door, will continue to call you and say, did God really say you're redeemed? He can't get in the door, but he's out. He said, did God really say you're sanctified? Are you set apart for what? What would God set you apart for? Look, matter of fact, here, let me go in my trunk. Do you remember this? I can't see what it is. Come closer. I'll show you what it is. He's standing outside the door because he can't come into the light, and he's continuing to try to get you to come out of the light. And that's what he did to Adam and Eve. You're in the light. You're the image of God. You have everything that you ever need. You've been told you have dominion over every single thing. And one thing God tells you not to do, he's going to call you outside to come get that one thing. Christ was made unto us wisdom from God. Wisdom from God, the embodiment of God's wisdom, created in Christ Jesus. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 2. This is not going to be a long message. Colossians 2, verse 6, we're going to begin with. Tell your neighbor, say, you're in him, in the wisdom of God. You have everything you need. All right. I'm going to prove it to you now. Here we go. Colossians chapter 2. This is talking about the exalted Christianity. Listen to this. Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in him. What does it mean to walk in him? That means you got it, now walk in it. Because you guys like my shirt? You like my suit? I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it, man. And you know what? And I got a little nice little bounce to me, because I like it. I'm walking in it. You know what? Because why am I walking in it? Because it's on me. It's on me so I can walk with it. I can walk with it. So what does he say? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in it. You've received Christ. Walk in this thing. Whatever he says, whatever he does, whatever is yours, you walk in it. Now, guess what? When I said, do y'all like my shirt? What if one of y'all said, I don't like your shirt? I like it. I'm going to still walk in it. Why? It's on me. I'm going to walk in. I don't care if you don't like it. When I went in the store and I looked, I said, I like that shirt. I'm getting that shirt. And I put that shirt on, and I'm going to walk around in this shirt. Even if people don't like it, I'm going to walk around in this shirt. Because I like the shirt. My father told me one time, he said, son, he said, look here, son. He said, look at my hair. I said, yeah. He said, I ain't never changing my hair, son. I said, okay. He said, you know why I'm not changing my hair? Why? Because I like it this way. And I don't care what everybody else do with their hair. I like it this way. And that's how I'm going to wear this way forever. Until it leave, I'm wearing it just like this. And he wore it just like that. As you've received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. In other words, in him, you're going to find roots to go down and you're going to get built up. Why do you need roots to go down? Because roots that go down are what makes a tree stand up. That's what makes a tree stand, is its roots. The stuff you can't see is what makes it stand. People look at you and they judge you, but they don't know what your roots are. They don't know what's holding you up. They think because the wind is blowing that you're going to go down. You look at a palm tree. Palm trees are so thin. They're a little narrow tree. But hurricanes come and the palm trees just do this here. They do this here. And when everything else is flat on the ground, palm tree will still be standing just like it was. It'll go right back to where it was. You know why? Roots. Roots. What do you say? Rooted and built up. Stuff going down in your life and stuff coming up in your life. And guess what? The deeper the roots, the taller the tree can be. The deeper the roots go down, the taller the tree. At this conference, Tammy and I were at, it was a church growth conference. They were talking about this church. The pastor was talking about this church that he knew, that was this mega church, right? This mega church. And so this mega church is going for thousands of people in this mega church. And he talked about something that happened in the church, and the church immediately started shrinking. You know why? Shallow roots. Shallow roots, no matter how big something is, if the roots are shallow, it's going down. It's going down. The deeper the roots. So what? Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? So walk in him, letting your roots go down. Letting God root you, ground you. And then he'll build you up and you'll be established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. We're talking about wisdom today. Beware. Tell your neighbor, beware. Lest anyone cheat you. Beware lest anyone cheat you through what? Philosophy and empty deceit. According to the what? Tradition of men. According to basic principles of what? And not according to Christ. Now, I had a conversation with some various people over time, but the conversation I've had with people sometimes is about doctors. Okay? Doctors. Should you go to the doctor if you're a Christian? Yes. Should you go to the doctor? Absolutely, you should go to the doctor. But if I go to the doctor, isn't that a sign that I don't have faith? No. You're supposed to go to the doctor. What's worse, if you have no faith and you fronting like you got faith and you don't go to the doctor? Now we got a problem. But understand what a doctor is. See, I worked at an airport, right? I worked at an airport. I've been on hundreds of planes in my life. So if I walk up and you're going on a flight and you see me standing at the door, I say, come on in. And you go take a seat and you hear my voice saying, this is Derry Moten. And we're going to be taking off in just a few minutes. And I'm sitting in the pilot's chair and we're going to be taking off in just a few minutes. You need to immediately get off. You need to get off this plane fast as you can. Because I'm at the airport every day. I was at the airport all the time. I've been on all kinds of planes. I've been in, I've sat in cockpits of planes. But you don't want to fly with me. Now, I can tell you where to eat at the airport. Ask me where to eat at the airport. I'll tell you where to eat at the airport. I'll tell you where not to eat at the airport. If you want to know if your baggage is lost and you want to figure out how to get it, I know exactly who you should call at SFO to get your baggage for you. If you're lost in the airport and you don't know where you are, call me. You can describe where you are and I'll tell you. Okay, all you're going to do, you're going to go, hey, go out to the terrazzo floor, look for this sign, I'll tell you how to go. Don't fly with me. When you understand about that, about doctors, then you know what to do with a doctor. A doctor has studied the human body. He studied how the body reacts to things. He studied various things. When the doctor tells you, hey, look, this is what I see. Here's what you might want to do. You do that. You go ahead. You do that. Then you go back and you pray and you ask the God who made your body, the pilot, the real pilot, you ask him what you do next and then you do that along with what you were told because the doctor can only tell you what he knows. And there's a reason why they say doctors are practicing medicine. Because they haven't perfected it. There's nothing wrong with the doctor. He's doing what he knows to do. And guess what? They get revelations. People get revelations. And they know, man, we should do this. We should do that. We can make this stop. We can make that stop. They figure these things out. Because why? The wisdom of God is available to all who will ask. But ultimately, the pilot is God. And we need to know his voice. And not just the voice of men. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There are a whole bunch of things in this world that the world system is trying to plant in your head and get you to think away from Christ. You know what the number one thing is? It's who you are. It's who you are. Children in school are being taught that all humans are sexual in nature. And so because you're sexual in nature means that you should be trying to express yourself, which means you need to express yourself sexually, right? If that's who you are, that's what you do. Except, you know what the problem is? That's wrong. That's me trying to be a pilot when I'm working at the airport. You're a teacher. You're not a creator. You didn't go in your garage and make me. So you can't explain what I am. But you're trying to explain me based on what you see in me, and you don't have the authority to really know who I am. So instead of teachers teaching knowledge, they're teaching who you are. And you can't tell me who I am by examining human behavior. A psychologist looks at human behavior and says, these are patterns of human behavior that I see, and therefore my theory concerning humans is X. It's just like people who believe in evolution. They say, we're looking at what we have created. We created this system of carbon dating, and so we have figured out how we can measure something. The only problem is your measure of carbon data or your measure of measuring carbon can't be proven because you can't go back the 25 million years you're trying to tell me that the earth was created in. When I was in high school, I had to take this class called bachelor's education. Bachelor's education. They taught us how to cook. They got all these guys in the class. They taught us how to cook. They taught us how to do all this stuff. And then they said, now what we're going to teach y'all how to do is we're going to teach y'all how to sew. What? You got to go to the Spiegel catalog and you got to get a pattern. Was it Spiegel? What was the other one? It was the Singer catalog. Yeah, Singer was the patterns and everything. Simplicity? Okay, so you have to go to the catalog and find you a pattern. And then when you get your pattern, it's going to get mailed to your house. And then when you get your pattern, whatever you pick, you're going to make it in the class. And so, man, I was excited. I'm going to make a jacket. Man, I was like, you know what? I saw a members only kind of style jacket. I'm making me a members only, right? So I'm about to make my members only style jacket, right? It ain't a members only. It's a style like a members only. So I got it. I'm on the sewing machine. I'm making it. I got my stuff all measured up. I had my stuff cut. I put it on. I said, I mean, it was kind of tight on one side, but I had my jacket, right? And I'm so proud of my jacket that I made. My own, these here hands, I made this jacket. So proud of it. I got it on. I come to school. I'm wearing my jacket, man. Wearing my jacket. I'm like, yeah, I made this. Where'd you get it? I made this jacket. I had my jacket I made. I wore it to school. I wore that jacket to school. Because I made it. And wasn't nobody asking me if it was a members only. Is that a members only? No. No, I'm the only member. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. But I made my jacket. And because it was mine, I was willing to wear it. And nobody couldn't tell me about my jacket. You couldn't tell me nothing about this jacket. I had snaps. I put the snaps in, y'all. It was my jacket. So proud of my jacket. Everybody else is looking at the jacket. I'm proud of my jacket, though. See, God made you. Amen. And other people looking at you, and you might be walking around. And other people are looking at you like, oh, Lord. And they're judging who you are. They're judging what you are. And they're telling you you can't do this or you can't do that. And they're telling you don't fit here or you don't belong here. And they're telling you all these different things. And while they don't know you, God made you. God made you. God made you. And he made Christ to be your wisdom, to be your redemption. Somebody says, hey, you know what? You should be stronger than this. You should be able to do this. You should be able to do that. Everybody telling you what you should be able to do. All I'm going to tell you is come into him and let him tell you who you are. Come into him and let him reveal who you are. And when you are revealed who you are, you're going to find out that you have more than what you expect. Look at verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And you are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. Look your neighbor up and down first. After you look them up and down, say, you're complete in him. You are complete in him. And he's the head of all principality and power. If he says you're complete, then that means you're complete. If he says you're complete, then you're complete. If he says you're complete in him, then in him you are complete. But let no one, what? Let no one what? Let no one persuade you. Beware, lest anyone persuade you otherwise. Beware. Look again. Go up to verse 8. Don't let anybody cheat you. Don't let a voice of some serpent cheat you out of who you are in him. See, here's what we're struggling with in the church. We're struggling with renewing our mind so that we know who we are. We're struggling with renewing our mind that we are bold and confident in who we've been made to be. And so the enemy then attacks us with fear. And just when we're about to really step into whatever God calls us to do, he comes and he starts saying, did God really say this? You better be concerned. Don't step out there. Don't do that. He will call you and try to persuade you, cheat you out of what God gave you. In him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything God has ever been to anybody is in Christ. You hear what I'm saying? Everything God has ever been to anybody is in Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily form. When you go to the store and you buy vitamins, you ever see the big rack and it's a million vitamins up there? Vitamin A, vitamin B, niacin, everything in the ground is on the shelf. Magnesium, calcium, zinc, all this other stuff, right? A, B, C, D, whatever other vitamins. You go through all these vitamins. They got bee pollen and they got all this stuff. You got all these vitamins, and you can buy all those vitamins. Or you can turn to your left and say, multivitamin. I'm getting that one. And in it is A, B, C, D, zinc, magnesium, chromium, calcium. It's all in it. In it is all the fullness of this whole shelf. In it. All these other vitamins are in it. So you get the multivitamin and you take the one instead of taking all. You take the one, and the one goes in, and the one does everything that all the other ones was trying to do. All in one. Look at this. In him is all the fullness of the Godhead. Let's bring up some of the names of God real quick. We're going to close with this. The name of Jesus. Here's an Old Testament name, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. God, the Almighty God. Guess what? In him, Jesus is all the fullness of El Shaddai. Let's get the next one. Come on. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Guess what? In him is Jehovah Tsidkenu. You're righteous in Christ. Amen? Come on, next one. Jehovah Mekadeshim, the Lord who sanctifies you. In him is your sanctification. In him, next one. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, your provider. In Jesus is Jehovah Jireh. Everything you need is in him. Everything God can provide is in him. Next one. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals me. The Lord, my healer. Jesus has been made a healer today. What did we hear in communion? That we have this body that was broken for us for our healing. He is a healer. Next one, Jehovah Raha, the Lord, my shepherd. You've been straying away. You've been roaming off. You can't figure out how to stay still. He's your shepherd that brings you back into place when you get lost, when you get off base like a shepherd does a sheep. Amen? Next one, Jehovah Shalom. Jesus is peace. Peace of God that goes beyond all understanding is who he is. He is Jehovah Shalom. That's who Jesus is. Next one. Jehovah Shammah, you're feeling lonely, you're feeling by yourself, you're feeling like you've been abandoned, feeling like you've been pushed off. Guess what? He's the Lord who is there. Where? Right here. That's who he is. He is Jehovah Shammah. Next one. That's good. We'll stop right there. He's many more things. But what I want you to know today is your first wisdom. He's been made to you wisdom, and you're in him. If you want to be wise, you got to get in him and let him be to you. Tammy, come up here. So bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Father, if there's anyone here...